Over the past couple of weeks, I've heard interviews with Catherine Welby Roberts. She is the daughter of Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and she's been doing the media rounds in these last few weeks because she's just published a book which details some of the struggles that she has had with mental health issues. She talks about how, since she was 19, she's struggled. And in one of the interviews, she was asked about her faith, because she's been quite open about that, and she was asked, has your faith been any use to you? And one of the things that struck me was that she said, well, at times it hasn't felt useful, but that's not how I think of my faith. Not as something to be used, but as something real. In another of the interviews, the interviewer said to her, I don't want to be too egocentric, but would I be right in guessing that whenever you go away from this interview, you'll think about it quite a lot? And she said, absolutely. I will go away and I'll think about the questions that you asked and I answered, and I will focus in on the one that I think I could have done better, I should have done better. And the danger is that that's the one that would gnaw away at her. She talked about a sense of never feeling good enough, of always feeling inadequate, of being terrified of crowds, being terrified of going to a party. All of these things. But it was that constant sense of never being good enough that struck home. She said, I think about myself quite a lot. And actually, the picture of Jesus as the great high priest is one which helps us enormously here. Because in Zechariah, we have this vision. Now, Zechariah was a prophet who was around the time that the people were in exile, and the prophecy has seven different visions in it. And this particular vision is focused on Joshua. That name can also be translated Jesus, and I'm sure that's no coincidence. Joshua, standing in front of a kind of a courtyard scene, and God is there as the judge. And on the one side, we're told, was the accuser. That's sometimes translated as Satan, but here it simply means the accuser, who is saying effectively to Joshua, you're not good enough, and you'll never be good enough. And that was a huge problem, because the job of the high priest was not just to be an example to the people, but the job of the high priest was to be a representative of the people, to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people, to lead the people. And if the high priest wasn't good enough, well, then there's a huge problem. Who could be good enough for God? And so the accuser said, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You're rubbish. That's who you are. And that's a voice that I'm sure, to varying extents, all of us can relate to at different times. You'll never be good enough. You're rubbish. But what's interesting then in this vision is that there is an angel. And some commentators think that the angel is meant to represent Jesus, who says to the accuser, lay off him. I've got him. He's mine. And so on the one hand, you have this voice saying, you're rubbish. And on the other hand, he's told, I've got you. You're mine. Now, what's the truth here? Was Joshua rubbish? Or were there no problems at all? Well, the truth is actually unpacked later on in the chapter, because we have this anomaly. On the one hand, Joshua is told, you're rubbish, you can never be good enough. And then later on in the chapter, Joshua's problems are dealt with. And what we have here is, in psychological terms, the difference between shame and guilt. Using it in a layperson's terms, shame focuses on ourselves all the time. How we can never be good enough and how we feel rubbish. And it's that voice that tells us, you're always rubbish, you have always been rubbish, and you will always be rubbish. Whereas guilt deals with reality, but says that wrong stuff that you can do, that can be addressed. Guilt focuses not so much on ourselves, it's not inward looking, but guilt focuses on the effect that the wrong stuff we do has on other people. And so shame, living with shame, is counterproductive. Dealing with guilt is helpful. And in this chapter, we see both shame and guilt dealt with. So on the one hand, the voice is silenced that says, you're not good enough. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. And the reason Joshua was told that's rubbish is because, effectively, God had his back. In the picture, Joshua is told, you're like a burning stick that's pulled out of a fire. I've chosen you. You're one of my people. And so, don't let anybody tell you that you're not good enough for me. To deal with this, we need to pick up, but only very gingerly and for a very short time, the hot potato of election. I'll pick it up and then I'll put it down gingerly. Because election says that God is looking after us. That we come to Christ not because we're good enough, but because Christ has done the work for us. And election says, actually, staying in a right relationship with God is not about what we do, but it's about what he has done for us. And so it brings security. I'm aware of all the problems that it brings, and so that's why I'm putting the hot potato down very gingerly. But think about the logic of it. A burning stick in a fire. You want to save that stick. Can that stick jump out itself? Of course it can't. Somebody has to pull it out. And in the same way in this picture, God says, Joshua, he can't deal with all of these issues himself. But I've got his back. He's one of mine. And that's all that's necessary. That's all the assurance that he needs. Just as a stick can't save itself, neither can we save ourselves when it comes to salvation. It has to be God does it for us. And so the second part of the picture is this defense saying, don't dare say to him or her, you're not good enough. If they're mine, that's all they need. If they're mine, that's all the assurance that they need, that they are loved by a God who cares for them. And so, Joshua's shame is dealt with. That whole feeling, I can never be good enough. People who live with shame never feel that they are loved. And that shame tells them, oh, they only love me because they don't really know me. But in this picture, we're told, actually, I love you because I love you. And I know you better than anybody else could possibly know you. And I love you more than anybody else could love you. So Joshua, the high priest, is told, God has got your back. But then, there is the reality. And this is where we come on to the whole issue of guilt. Because we're aware that we do stuff that's wrong. And if we say to ourselves, we're perfect, we have no issues that need addressing, then we're telling a lie. And so how do you, on the one hand, reconcile these two? On the one hand, God says, you're good enough because I say so. But on the other hand, God says, you're sinful because you do wrong stuff. How do we hold those things together? Well, in this picture, Joshua is given clean clothes. He's filthy. He's given clean clothes. And I want you to take a domestic picture. I'm going out for the night. I'm going out on my own, but it's a really important occasion. And so I go into the wardrobe and get my best shirt. And then I very carefully select my favorite trousers, polish up the shoes, and come downstairs and say to my fashion consultant, how do I look? And all I want to hear is, oh, you look great. The only problem is there's a dirty, great mark on my shirt here, and the trousers aren't ironed. Now, what's the merciful thing to do there? Is it to say, oh, you look great, William. Go out there, and everybody looks on. What's he like? Or is the merciful thing to say, actually, you need to change that shirt, and you need to iron your trousers? And in the picture, and I'm being very careful to avoid any gender stereotypes, so I'm not drawing the picture fully, but in this picture in the Bible, Joshua is actually given new robes. It's as if my fashion consultant takes me upstairs and says, here, open the wardrobe. Let me take a look for you. This would never happen, of course. Ha-ha. Let me take a look for you. There, that's a much better shirt. And look at those trousers. They're fine. Now change yourself. Now you look fine. And you'll be all right. And think about the difference in the two pictures. On the one hand, at the start off, you have that voice which says, you're rubbish and you'll always be rubbish. You're rubbish and you'll always be rubbish. But on the other hand, in the next picture, you have, well, actually, you do look a bit grotty at the moment, but I know you can look good. And let me help you by giving you different clothes to wear. On the one hand, a voice of love, a voice of care that doesn't turn a blind eye to the issues. And on the other hand, a voice that's just about putting down. You see, God is realistic about us. God knows what we are like. And God doesn't tell you, you can do anything you like, anytime you like. But God says, I love you. And that's enough for you. And so that's the picture that Zechariah had of this high priest. And then that picture is pushed forward towards the end of the chapter and says, you know what? This picture that I've given you, it symbolizes what is to come. You and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. In other words, this whole vision is a picture of what Jesus would do. The branch in the Old Testament refers to Jesus. And Joshua was the imperfect high priest. But he was pointed forward to the perfect high priest. And then we're told, I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. And of course, we're pointed to that single day when Jesus took our sins. The high priest didn't offer the sacrifice. The high priest was the sacrifice. Joshua could never be perfect. Jesus, because he was perfect, was the perfect sacrifice. And so here we move from the picture of the high priest in the Old Testament to the picture of Jesus the high priest, who didn't offer sacrifices but became the sacrifice and took on all the other roles of a high priest. Another of the roles of a high priest was to pray for the people. As the high priest went in day after day, and then on an annual basis, offering the great big sacrifice, he prayed for the people. And we're told in the verse with which we started our service that we have one there, seated beside the throne of God, who is interceding for us, who is praying for us. And you know, that's a very practical thing. Because one of the things about dealing with the kind of shame that we talked about at the start is you sometimes feel, I can't pray. I couldn't possibly pray. Or there are times you feel so far away from God that you feel, I'm unable to pray. And in this picture of Jesus as the intercessor, we have good news. Because even in those times when we are not able to pray for ourselves, when we're not able to stand up for ourselves, as it were, before God, we have one there at the right hand of God who is interceding for us. Now, of course, Jesus spoke about the importance of prayer, and Jesus showed the example of praying. But there is that huge comfort. If you have got to a place at a time where you think, I am so rubbish, I can't even pray, be comforted. There is one praying for us, interceding for us. Jesus is there. But another picture of Jesus as the high priest is that he is our representative. But he is also perfect. The reason he was able to be a sacrifice is because he is perfect. But sometimes perfection can be off-putting. Let me tell you about the biggest regret I have since I came here. Oh boy, here's a big bombshell coming. Actually, it's a trivial one. But it happened one day. It was a Friday afternoon, and I was doing a wedding here. And the church was all set out that way. And I came in, and sitting round about where Gwen's sitting, but looking the opposite direction, was Kenny Dalglish. And I grew up as a Liverpool fan. And I was about to conduct a wedding. And so, what did I do? And I was so tongue-tied, awestruck, gobsmacked, that I did absolutely nothing. Because when it comes to footballing perfection, there he was, sitting there. And sometimes perfection has that effect on us. But actually, the Bible gives us this lovely picture of Jesus that says, on the one hand, he's perfect, but on the other hand, he has had every experience that we experience. God doesn't need to wonder what it feels like to be a man, because Jesus was a man. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, we are told that we can have confidence when we come and pray. Because we have an advocate, we have a representative, we have a high priest who has had our experiences, who has wept just like we weep, who has laughed just like we laugh. And so we don't need to think, oh, he doesn't know what I feel like, what's the point? He knows exactly what we feel like. And so on the one hand, we have the perfect sacrifice, but also we have the compassionate representative. And so we have Jesus representing us to God. And when that voice tells us in our head, you can never be good enough, you're rubbish, Jesus says, wait a minute, I died for her. I died for him. That's how much they are loved. And when there is sin that needs to be dealt with, well, Jesus says, here, take off your filthy rags, because you can never represent yourself to God, but it's okay. Let me give you my pure, finely pressed, perfectly clean clothes. And so the picture of Jesus as our high priest is a picture that helps us to deal with shame. It helps us to deal with never feeling good enough. And it helps us to deal with the wrong stuff that does need to be addressed. Because he loved us enough to die for us. He intercedes for us at the right hand of God. He is perfect, and yet he slept the sleep of tiredness. He wept the tears of sadness. He felt the disappointment of friends who let him down. All of these things. We have a high priest, someone who is there for us. These pictures in the Old Testament are not about high-flown theology, but they're about sometimes dealing with the lies that our brains tell us and dealing with the stuff that we wish we hadn't done and dealing with the crippling when we're not able to pray. We have a high priest who has done it all for us. Let's come through him to God in prayer now. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you that we have a representative. We have the Lord Jesus representing us, dying for us, giving us clothing of righteousness, and yet able to feel just as we feel. Whenever we feel inadequate, help us to remember that. Whenever we feel overconfident, help us to remember that. Because it is in his name we pray. Amen.